Hey, I'm Josh Wolf.
Hey, I'm Adam Ray.
Hey, this is a good call.
Nice.
Hey, I slipped that right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We did three hays. I don't know if we...
Yeah.
You good, man?
I'm great. Feeling good.
Can I tell you something that you have such a strong, masculine, non-Jewish voice.
Thanks.
I'm very envious of it.
Really?
I have kind of a higher, squeakier.
Yeah, but that's you.
Yeah, but you like if I picked up the phone and called somebody and I was just, let's do this. I say I'm calling.
Are you calling a sex operator?
No,
because I have wanted to do that.
I've done that.
What?
Oh, I didn't tell you that?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Well, what was this fun little game we were going to play?
We'll do that one right after.
Okay.
When I first moved here, you know, I was raising three kids by myself.
Yes.
And I needed a job that paid high hourly wage.
Yep.
In low hours.
Yep.
So I was looking looking and they said, earn $45 an hour, make your own hours. And I was like, well, fucking A. But yep. It didn't say anything else. So I went into I'm sitting in the lobby and you know how you can usually tell in an audition, sometimes if you walk into an audition and it's like three Chinese dudes and you're like, either I got this or I don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I hope Chung didn't bring the goods today.
Yeah.
Because I want this fucking Gillette commercial.
Exactly. But your face will never look as smooth as a Chinese man's face.
It won't. As hard as you.
No matter what you do. Okay. So start.
There's anything you walk away from the show with. It's that your face will never be as smooth as a Chinese man's. By the way, my buddy Brad, real quick, Brad Williams, who's in China right now.
Is he doing gigs?
I'm going to read you the text he sent me. Yeah, he's doing gigs. And then I don't want to steer off the train of what you were talking about.
Okay.
But this Brad just texted me. He's in China. He goes, Americans are not racist. Chinese people are the world heavyweight champions. It's not even close. They say the N-word like it's or made me very uncomfortable. They told me a story how when Reuben Paul was here, they called him Obama lips.
Oh, no. What?
I mean.
First of all, what kind of text plan does he have from China?
The Kung Pao plan? All right, you set me up for that. It was a softball lob.
Yeah, it really was.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't. Who wants to sex Mutombo in China?
No. I mean, my question was too, like, how are you, like, I'm surprised that, I mean.
What do they say to him?
Yeah.
Like, if there's no filter.
I don't think there's a racist term for dwarves.
Well, midget, people don't like midget.
Yeah, but that's not racist.
No, because it's not a race.
Yeah. Well, not right. With that attitude.
I like that.
I mean,
I like that.
You're holding us back.
I like that. I like how you put that in there. That's the first one you put in there. I like that, yeah.
Wait,
not with that attitude.
So,
like
all right, so.
Oh, so I go in the lobby and I'm like, huh. And basically, I didn't know I was in the phone sex operator place. And I was like, the guy was like, are you game? And I said, yeah. And he said, you'll talk about whatever. And I was like, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'll talk to some horny housewives.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Who am I to say no?
Let's be honest. Horny Housewives, first of all, a great Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
Yeah.
But also a percentage of people that like make the world go round.
Listen.
I'm not saying that because like I don't know if they like whether they cheat or not, but like horny housewives, they're getting the jobs done at home, both in and out of the bedroom.
Without a doubt, I made my sexual living, and I don't mean living like getting paid. Like
yeah.
my resume
yeah.
for sex
yeah.
for years was all single moms.
Wow,
it was all single moms.
Do you think they're the best at sex?
100%.
Why?
Okay, because
they were so good they got pregnant on accident.
Exactly.
And then they couldn't do it for a while.
You know their vagina works.
And now they're hungry like the wolf to get back.
The big thing is, dude, because you've never had kids, the thing is you spend all day speaking to children. So you spend all day not finishing your sentences.
Because you can't speak.
No. And now you want physical human contact. The single moms that I dealt with, they didn't want to talk. They didn't want me to be the baby daddy. They wanted to fuck. Bam, plain and simple. And they wanted me to fuck, and then they wanted me to leave because they had to get up the next morning to get the kids ready.
Or they had to make the lunches that night.
That's what I did. I made lunches before I went to fuck. And then I came back and I put everything together. And
please make that book and sell it to Roald Dahl. I made lunches before I went to fuck.
Yeah, man.
The follow-up to Judy Blum's...
The follow-up to James and the Giant Peach. is I made okay, yeah. But so I
so wait, so you were
for a
hooking
death.
Up with these housewives,
oh,
but
yeah.
But you were talking to them on so you walked in the place, you didn't know it was phone sex operator.
Yeah, and the guy was like, "You're sure you talk about anything?" And I was like, "Yeah, man."
How do you not know? What about this place suggests not that profession?
Well, because it was just a blank lobby.
Okay, yeah.
And so when I walked in and he finally told me, he's like, "This is the phone sex." And I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And he's like, "You'll talk about anything?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "You good with anal?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll talk about anal on a Monday. I'm a fucking freak. Nice. I don't care, right?" And he goes, "When do you want to start?" And I was like, "I'll start today." And he goes, "You want to start right now?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "You think you can do it?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "All right, well, let's walk in. We'll give you a trial run." And sat down and my first phone call came and he was like, "You mind if I sit? I need to listen to the newcomers." I'm like, "No problem." I picked up the phone and I went with Steve and he was like, I go like, "Hey, this is Steve." And the guy was like, "Hey, this is Dave." And I kind of hung, put my hand over the phone. And I turned to the guy and I go, "It's a dude." And he goes, "Did you think women were going to call you?"
What?
Yeah. And that's when I was like, he was like, "You can quit right now. Hang up. You can quit right now." And then I was like, first of all, I need $45 an hour. Desperately.
That's pretty good money.
Great money.
That's excellent money. Yeah.
Okay. So I need $45. And second of all, I'm the type of dude, like I can... I'm never 100% sure that I don't like something.
Yeah.
I'm 99.9% sure that I don't want to hear Dave come. But how do I know my ears aren't gay? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do I know?
Yeah.
And how do I know? And this is the next thing I thought.
I don't know my ears aren't gay. The follow-up to I go make lunches before I go fuck.
My real thing was, the guy goes, "You're an actor. Act." And I was like,
"That's great direction."
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't act like
verbally.
You want to hear Dave come.
No, I'll verbally jerk off Dave.
Now, what was, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I'm about to ask this, but like, what did you develop a go-to or did you check into did your voice drop into like a different register that was like,
did I sound like you?
So funny. Did
only,
you?
Oh, my, you know, it's funny when you said that my seat slowly sunk. Did you
it
see
did.
Me get lower?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fucking weird.
Like, did you try to figure out like what Dave was in? Like, did you ask him like who his favorite like musical artists were or what color he liked to
no.
try to get a gauge on what timbre to put your pipes at?
No, Dave wanted to jump straight in. That's the difference, right? Between guy and I'll tell you something.
Well, I've heard this about gay men too, that like even at the bars, like they are just direct. Fuck. They walk in, it's
direct.
Like, "Yo, sweet shorts."
Yeah, direct.
"Can I see,
let's see
your butthole?"
Yeah, let's look at that. See it?
It's sunk
in.
That's weird.
I will tell you, I lasted a day.
Of course.
I lasted a day. And basically what I realized is that men are very aggressive. Like, I really felt like the woman.
We're animals.
Because the guy said to me, like 3 minutes into the conversation, "I'm gonna need you to suck my dick." And
Jesus.
I was like, "Need?" I was like, "Relax,
yeah.
Dave.
How about just a simple..."
How about we talk for a little bit? We get to know each other a little bit. I mean...
I love how defensive you got.
I know, I did right away. I was like...
It was like holding a mirror up.
I was like, "What the fuck, Dave?"
So what... Oh my God,
yeah.
Dude.
It wasn't great.
$45 an hour. That'll keep you there for at least a day.
Well, you gotta figure, I spent... And I was there for 3 hours. Out of that $135... I probably spent $70 on booze and weed to forget about the day.
I was going
to
say, so you're walking, you're clocking out.
And then after I bought dinner for the kids, it was gone, and
wow.
I washed myself in a long, hot shower.
Yeah.
It good just wasn't
good. What was the rest of the staff like, or did you?
Okay, so the women you're talking to are, you know, 50s.
Okay.
Larger women.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. Everyone's in their sweatpants. Nobody's in their bra and panties on a bed.
Bummer.
And, but they have some sexy voices. I was listening to them the other day. I was getting like, there was this one, she had to go 350. Massive. But her voice was so sexy, dude.
Wow.
And I told her, I kept peeking my head out of my little cubicle going, "You're getting me hard." Like, legitimately.
Wow.
Legitimately hard.
Never judge the size of somebody by, I guess, their pipes, right?
Oh, my God. It was, she
that's
sounded
insane.
So...
What'd she sound like? Scarlett Johansson?
It was
such... that's a great voice.
Yeah, it's a great voice because, it, you know what it had? It sounded sexy, but it sounded needy. And, you know, guys who call and want a girl on the phone, they want the girl to sound a little desperate. So she had a little bit of that desperation
in
her.
Was it low? Was it high?
Oh, it was breathy.
Yeah.
It was so good. And, you know, that's the thing, like... But whenever I went home and I was like, "I'm jerking off to this voice," but then
did you say that to her?
No, but
it's
I
probably
didn't
a compliment.
The problem was her actual face kept getting in the way of the voice, and yikes. I was like, I'm gonna have to bow out.
Yeah,
I'm tapping out.
You were bored on the jerk.
Yeah, no, I didn't stop the jerk. I just stopped thinking about her
for sure.
Have you ever stopped a jerk?
No, you just find alternate material.
Yeah, who are you? Who's a quitter that stops a jerk?
It's also like I feel like there's definitely been times where I've maybe done it out of boredom, and then been like, oh man, I'm just not.
Into myself? I mean, I'm not doing it for me today.
So funny. Or just whatever it was where I was like, oh, this is going to take a while. Or too tired. But like sometimes, I mean, you do it when you're tired just because it's, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to know the top. And I'm going to rephrase that sentence. Because I don't want to know the top. I was going to say, I would love to know the top reasons for dudes, like why they go jerk.
Right. I think boredom is a lot.
Boredom is a lot.
I think boredom is number one. There's so many times right before I jerk off, I think to myself, why not? Do you know what I mean?
This is so funny. It's a female equivalent? Oh, I might as well online shop. My browser's open.
I will tell you, I think.
And we're that way. We're like, the dick it's there. I have a dick. So why wouldn't I do that?
Well, and for me, like when I don't get an empty home a lot.
Yeah.
So as soon as everybody's out of the house, like, you know, there's.
Yeah, you can't do it with kids around.
There was this one time my wife, we were supposed to go, I had to go to a fertility clinic because I smoke a lot of weed and she wanted me to get my semen tested.
It really does affect it, huh?
That's what I'm told.
So the little sperms are getting stoned.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. They're high.
And they're forgetting to show up and go to the egg.
I think about it when you're high. Do you feel like exercising and swimming upstream?
Depends on the weed.
That's true.
Yeah.
This weed right here is gonna.
What is that?
That's an edible that I'm going to eat about midway through this podcast.
God damn, good for you.
I will tell you, there was one time, and we should talk about sports.
We will.
I was supposed to go to a fertility clinic, and my wife was like, I'm going to go, she was going to drop my son off at school. And so, out of instinct, when the two of them left the house, I jerked off.
Yeah.
So we go to the fertility clinic, and the doctor was like, so I need you to go leave a little
sample.
And he goes, but you know you're not supposed to have jerked off in the last 48 hours, right? And I was like, oh, I jerked off a half an hour ago.
Good God. You animal.
The guy goes, what? You jerked off a half an hour ago? I was like, I was alone at the house. My wife was like, you masturbated in the 7 minutes it took me to take Jacob to school and back? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like, I don't get a lot of time by myself. 6 minutes
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 minutes counts. Clean up, making sure everything back is back in the same place it was when you left the house.
Yeah, because really like one book being tilted should be like.
I can't have my computer on the bed, you know.
You definitely can't.
I couldn't have run to the office, run back, have my computer on the bed with the headphones in, do you know what I mean? And like one sock missing from my drawer.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, to transition this into sports talk.
Yes.
How much do you think Muhammad Ali jerked off?
I don't think he had to jerk off.
No.
I think he got a lot of pussy. I think, okay, let me ask.
If you're considered the greatest of all time.
And
he got that label, I mean, just across the board, right? Like, we didn't even go, the greatest of all time, hashtag boxing. Like, it was like, the greatest of all time.
Okay, I have a better question for you, because we're like a generation apart.
Yeah, so you grew up on Ali. I grew up on Will Smith Ali.
I didn't grow up on Ali. I'm still like one generation removed from that.
But you were closer to it than I was as far as like seeing stuff and feeling like you weren't as far away from like.
And I grew up when boxing was still the sport.
I remember the last time I think it was a freshman in high school. I think it was 1998 when Tyson and Holyfield, fought?
Yeah,
The ear bite.
Yes.
I think that was 98. But that was the last time I remember being like, an event where even like these Holyfield
Mayweather fights.
Yeah. Like I don't care. Like, nobody cares. And they seem like it just Tyson, there was just so much. And I think that was conducive to the time that boxing was still right. Like very much.
Yeah.
UFC wasn't around. I mean,
you had Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler and
the talent was
Tommy
better.
Hearns. So those three guys fought each other and beat the fuck out of each other. Right. And Roberto Duran.
They didn't hide from each other.
No.
They were looking to kill.
Oh, my. Have you ever seen the Hearns-Hagler fight?
No.
Oh, my God. The Hearns-Hagler fight is the best. I don't even know. How many rounds did that Hearns-Hagler fight last? Three, maybe?
Okay. Brian will look it up.
It was.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, the only other fights that I would say matched that fight for me in pure brutality and action. Do you ever see any of the Gotti Ward fights?
No.
Mickey, now Gotti's, I believe he died.
Okay.
But they used, and Mickey Ward's a dude who there was the fighter.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
The Ward Gotti fights, dude, I'm telling you, look those up. It's why people loved boxing. Yeah. They stood in front of each other and they threw punches. Now, I will tell you this also. I don't understand
three rounds, Brian.
Three rounds, right? Yeah. I don't understand the shit that Mayweather got. Because if I was a boxer, I would try not to get hit too.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, but yeah. I mean, what a trick. I guess we're all watching though, and he's getting paid to see.
He's getting paid to do what?
Box.
He punches people and doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
Would you like him more if he got punched in the face?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because if we're asking, I want to watch the best. Well, he is the fucking, if you're standing in front of another grown man, it's his profession too. He's arguably one of the four best in the world, but you're so much better that he can't hit you. That's like saying, I wish Deion Sanders had gotten beat a couple more times. He was the best.
Yeah.
So nobody threw at him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, I understand that his fights are fucking boring as hell. They're boring because he wins by points and he never hurts anybody. And
I
all
think
that
they
shit.
Should have to adjust. I think the sport should have to go, look, if they, because it is there for entertainment purposes, right?
Yeah.
Sports, right? I mean, like, what is the main?
100%.
I mean, you know, nobody goes to a baseball game to see a no hitter. I mean, maybe you want that, but right. Like, and that is
your
entertaining.
Team, your team, Joe.
Yes.
You wouldn't mind seeing.
You go because you want to see home runs.
Yes.
You want to see points. You want to see touchdowns in a football game. You want to see dunks. You want to see, like, you want to be entertained. You want to see these guys do things that you can't do.
That's a really good point.
And just dodging punches, even though they're at speeds and, like, you know, 98% of us can't dodge the way they do.
Yeah.
But you're still like. Oh, but when you see them like throw a punch and really connect, you're like, yeah, I don't think I could do that.
Well, but you also could probably get hit. You probably couldn't dodge it. I mean, let's be honest.
I don't know. In seventh grade was the last real fight.
Here's the thing. Like, it, now you're comparing it to MMA, and there's no comparison. MMA is just so much more exciting.
That's why MMA probably started, because boxing, what, got boring or safe?
Well, I think MMA, in the beginning of MMA, was really weird. And it wasn't MMA. It was like a sumo wrestler versus a boxer.
Yeah.
It was really like weird. It was just people from different skill sets fighting each other. And then all the skill sets started to meld together. The early MMA, and I don't even think it's considered MMA, the early UFC stuff is like ridiculous. You know, guys.
No rules. They were just trying to figure it out, huh?
It was nuts. It was just like big. There was one guy who used to fight named Tank somebody. Just this big, you would basically just big brawler. Crazy beard.
How destroyed were people?
Well, he would just go in and throw haymakers.
Jesus.
Hey, just fucking haymakers.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's
entertaining.
And also with boxing, it's like, if like with the Floyd, the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, like, I think they need to adjust. They go, look, if these guys two rounds in are just like ducky dodgy,
yeah,
then like we're throwing in like the whatever it is, like the wild card,
an alligator.
An alligator, or one guy has to do arm behind the back or blindfolds, like something to just go like, all right, well, you guys, because come on, man. They made so much money.
What if each one
pay-per-view, people, you had people like so millions tune in, like getting like old friends, like, you know, viewership. And like, that's what you provide. Like, that is such a scam.
But do you know what Floyd did to counteract that?
What?
He became the villain. I think he knew that his fight style was kind of boring. And I think
he's like the Kardashian of fighting, huh?
Yeah, I think he knew, because he became the villain on purpose. Like, he became the guy that you love to hate on purpose, because it made it compelling leading in. Leading in, you hated him so much. You were like, I got to see if this guy gets the shit beat out of him. Knowing full well that nobody was ever going to fucking touch his face. Dude, he's been fighting, I don't know how long. His face, he didn't have that crazy nose.
No.
Isn't
that ironic? Seal looks like the way he does, and he's. Doesn't fight at all.
I know. Isn't that weird?
And Mayweather does, and he's just got, you know.
Seal got the raw end.
L'Oreal skin commercial.
Seal got the raw end of whatever that was.
Does anybody know what that is from? It's a disease, right?
Which one?
Seal. I mean, we can joke about those scars and those indents for days, but like, it's got to be a condition, right?
What about Frank Beamer? You know, that guy from the
who's that?
Football coach for Virginia Tech who's got that thing on the side of his neck?
Just a growth.
Yeah.
Fuck.
My friends used to call him the bullfrog. It's not, it wasn't.
It's hilarious.
I think he got in a fire, to be fair.
Jesus. Wow. Too soon.
By the way, I see you're wearing your
Mariners hat. Yeah, this is convenient. I'm wearing my M's hat. You're wearing your Red Sox hat.
I want to say something because last week I said something about Seahawk fans.
Yeah.
And I started to think about it. And I want to put one caveat on it. I think Seahawk fans are the most invested football fans in the country. I really do believe that because of the 12. I think whoever, like I said, whoever captured that.
Yeah.
Because people feel like they're part of the team.
Well, it's a combination of the 12 and also like losing an NBA franchise. Like the Seahawks football fandom has just grown exponentially because of a need for where do I put all my emotional support that I was giving to basketball?
100 and
you overcompensate almost by like, you know.
They go bananas.
Yeah.
And everybody would love that fan base. When I said they're not that knowledgeable, I don't mean like in a what I meant is that like they're new football fans.
Yeah. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's what the depth of their knowledge. Most of the fans haven't been following for 30 years.
Right.
They're new football fans.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, I think that actually adds to the excitement of the team. They're hey, this is new.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. We're winning.
Yeah.
If they asked you to, don't they ring a bell?
They raise a 12-man flag.
If they asked you to do that?
I would go crazy. And you know, I really want to throw out a first pitch at a Mariners game.
We can arrange that, dude.
How?
You know, I threw at the first pitch at Fenway.
Shut up.
The guy said to me, he goes, what size shirt do you need? And I said, one big enough to cover up my boner because gotta be walking out there with a hard on.
Can I be honest? Funny, but also very real.
100% real.
Baseball boners are no joke.
No joke. Try pitching off a mound with a fucking hard on.
Jesus. But so it was that's amazing. A dream come true.
Oh, come on.
When did you do that?
A couple years back, they got my name wrong when they announced me on the way out to the mound. It was perfect. As a comedian, they called me John Wolf. Whatever. I didn't care. Do you care? If they called you Tony Ray and you were still throwing out the first pitch, you'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to do? Like drop the ball at the mound and walk off?
Fuck you!
Or throw it into the stands?
If you threw it into the stands, somebody said to me, you know how you'll get on SportsCenter. I'm like, how?
Jeff Dye did that. He threw out the first pitch at Safeco and threw... did a crazy, and he made some sports. I don't know if he made SportsCenter, but he made like some, it was like a clip that was featured around.
But he'll never get asked to do it again.
Probably not.
Okay, so that's.
I would throw it for real because.
Would you warm up?
But if they say comedian, there is a little bit of, but also, look, if you're not Will Ferrell or a fucking Jimmy, if you're just known for like any appearance you do where you're silly, just throw it. And have it be cool and be acknowledged that they, you know, I would want them to say, you know, some credits to like, you know, plugs, you know, whatever, if it maybe Matt TV or my podcast or this podcast or and say where you're from.
Yes.
You know,
so they the people did all go, that. They did all that.
Yeah. So the people go like, oh, cool. Hometown kid.
Yep.
Cause that's why I think it's not totally irrational to think that I can maybe hopefully do it soon because like, it's usually a lot of local people and affiliated like, you know, Tom from Tom's Seattle Subs or whatever. I mean, right?
Yes.
And then the hometown people in the business, I feel like they would
100%. All you have to do is reach out. The woman at Fenway said to me, I go, are you sure you're going to let me throw the first pitch? And she said, we can't have Tom Hanks every day. And I'm like, good point. Wow. Like every now and then.
Wait, no, when you said we can make that happen, do you know the people in Seattle?
Let's talk afterwards.
Yeah.
But I am almost positive.
Wow.
That can happen. I mean, I told you that I don't have a huge skill set, but I'm good at getting free stuff.
You're unbelievably charismatic, and I think you're like, I mean, dude, if you made Dave come in 3 minutes.
You're all set,
I think,
with the CRs.
Wow.
You just have to pick a day. So we're set. Back to Ollie. Let me just, I'm curious more about what your perspective as somebody who saw an older Parkinson-y,
yeah,
Ollie. Like when you look at the clips, does that hit you at all?
Oh yeah, because I can recognize greatness. And hey, man, the Will Smith movie really was great as far as like seeing some insight into maybe who you know, I don't think they Hollywooded it up too much.
No, they showed his warts. Like, yeah. You know, as great as people say he was for sticking up for what he believes in and giving a voice to a group of people that never had a voice before, ask his first three wives how good of a person he was.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, hearing I'm going to go back and like get more of a backstory, but even seeing some of the stuff on CNN about, you know, how he started it's always incredibly compelling to see somebody that amazing and go like, oh yeah, they weren't always like, people look at Seinfeld or whoever, or like Robert Downey Jr. They go, oh, you were always just an amazing actor, comedian, or Ali, like you were just always a great boxer. And he was early on, but yeah. Like, it just, the progression of how to get to where he was. When I heard he died, my first, because I've had a family friend that Parkinson's ate alive. And that was my first, like seeing that Ali, I think that's what I was, you know, more just like, you know, made me think more about that disease when he died, right. And was like, oh God, they got to figure something out. Cause that is like, it's brutal.
Brutal, but he never shied away from the public. Always that held was himself kind of, with dignity.
It's kind of amazing to still want to go out. That's why Robin Williams ended it. He didn't want to have to do that,
yeah.
You know, cause he started to get onsets of it and was like, fuck that. I ain't going to like, people know me as this. Why am I going to go out in that?
Right.
And all he was like, oh, fuck it. Like,
no, held himself. And with,
did he ever throw a Parkinson's punch? And by the way, Hi C, if you're listening, Parkinson's punch is probably available.
Yeah, by the way, I bet you it is. Or I bet you if there's a bar in West Hollywood that wants to make a new shot, the Parkinson's punch might be good. We're doing a special on Parkinson's punch tonight.
That's so fucked up, because obviously that drink just, you know.
Just gives you the shakes.
Oh, God.
Guys, save your fucking tweets.
Save your tweets and your emails, because
we clearly are not pro Parkinson's.
No, not at all. But he did, that was very admirable for him to like still go.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he probably knew he was doing a little bit of a PSA for it by being like
100%,
like putting in the public eye, because you don't see. So Michael J. Fox, like, God bless him for trying to get back on TV. And then like, I think it just got too much,
yep.
Is what I heard. And it's like, but he at least was, he still was dealing with it very vividly. And it's like, that makes it an issue more, you know, like.
Well, it also lets other people with Parkinson's, gives them a little bit of hope that, oh, I can still, right?
Yeah.
I can still walk around in my day to day and still be out there and whatever. Yeah. What what he did with Parkinson's, to me, embodied, and this is what, for me, was the best about Ali, because I don't know if you know this, I'm not black.
What?
Yes. So while I do 100% recognize, see, when you, did you ever listen to any interviews he did about, you know, when people call him a draft dodger, not true. He did not draft dodgers went to Canada. Draft dodgers invented injuries so they couldn't go. He went down and basically said, he didn't run. He said, I know what you're asking me to do. Arrest me. That's not a draft dodger.
Because I'm not going
to
go to war.
Because I don't believe in this war. So to me, I think it's completely irresponsible to call him a draft dodger. And what he did embodies what he did with Parkinson's, what he did in all the Frazier fights against Foreman. Coming back and beating Foreman was amazing, right? He was the
I didn't even know that he did that. I mean, there's all he fight. I mean, like, I almost need to, like, I'm sure there will be some sort of piece, or I'm sure there are already documentaries, right, about just
you have
start
to
finish.
Look at it was his heart. It was his never fucking quit. That's what
So
got
he came
made.
From behind a lot. That's what made him great, or?
No, but, okay, so the third Frazier fight, right?
Frazier was, like, considered his, it was like Jordan magic, like.
Yes, his real nemesis, right? That third fight was one of the most brutal fights. The punishment that they both took, and you know, Frazier didn't answer the bell for 15th round, but Ali collapsed. He was going to get up and go, but he collapsed after the fight. I believe he went to the hospital.
Dehydration.
Near death, dude. He was beat to fuck, but he would have got out and answered that 15th round. Dude never quit. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he never ran from anything. That's what I respect the most. It's a, if I was going to gift a piece of character onto any of my kids, that is the one I envy the most. That's the one that I wish for the people that I love the most, that I won't run away from anything. I'm not quitting, I think is the most important one you can have across the board, because it can fix a lot of things.
Just from a parenting standpoint too, that seems like kind of a smart way to do it, because there are so many things you can try to instill on kids, but yeah, like it's so overwhelming to like throw life lessons and little things so much. They're trying to absorb and discover so much. So to kind of just have one main thing and be like, yo, operate from this mentality. Like, don't fucking quit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, well, I mean.
But it's hard, man. Think
about
it.
Unless they like, you know, get into the, I don't know, like,
heroin.
Yeah.
And then, I mean,
like,
nobody likes a quitter.
No.
So once you started, you better fucking keep doing that shit.
You might want to hang up the needles on that one.
But it's a, right? So
he came from behind the Frazier fight.
And not then, that he came from behind, he just never fucking quit. You know, Foreman, when he came back from his, you know, from being in jail and not being able to fight.
Foreman went to jail?
No, from when Ali came back from not being able to fight, and, you know, he was had his title stripped and all that shit, right?
Don't know that.
Well, because he didn't refuse to go to the war.
Oh, wow.
So they stripped his titles. And
that was a big deal, yeah?
Huge deal. He was at the top of his game.
And they just took
him down. Stripped his titles.
And then he stopped boxing for a while after that?
He wasn't allowed to box.
What?
And then he came back.
Wow.
And, you know, Foreman was...
So Foreman was next in line, so he...
He beat the fuck out of Frazier. And he beat the shit out of him. And
Foreman was a gangster, huh?
You should see some more. The punches he used to throw were like, you know, and George Foreman said this, you know, so that was, you ever heard of the rope-a-dope?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ali started the rope-a-dope with Foreman, right? He would lean back and let him just swing, 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 swing. He wanted to tire him out. But this is, Foreman says this in an interview. He said at one point, he hit Ali as hard as he could in the side. I mean, with everything he had, fucking bang. This is the biggest puncher in the world at the time.
Foreman was.
And Foreman said, Ali leaned in and said, is that all you got, George? And George was saying to himself, yeah, actually, that is all I got.
Whoa. Well, but, cut to 20 years later, he's like, I also got now a grill franchise.
And I got 72 kids named George. How do you feel? Would you give someone an Adam Jr.?
No, because there's too many great names to make up. And if you're going to go all that work to creating a life and
are you making up a name?
Protecting it? Fuck yeah.
You're going to make up a name?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a list. Like Febreze or like what?
No, because that's already a thing.
Febreze is a... Oh, yeah. You're going to make up a completely different name.
I think so. Well, the names that I would go off of the top of my head are like either last names of people I respect or fictional characters that I... that I enjoyed growing up, like
Frodo.
Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. But you know, Sebastian Maniscalco, you know,
right,
has really kind of taken that to the next level.
Well,
so
let me ask
I'm
you
gonna leave that alone.
If you named your kid Sebastian, would you tell your kid that it was named after The Little Mermaid?
Hell yeah.
Oh no, that's the mistake.
Ewing, just as a first name.
I don't mind that.
No, I mean, these are
I don't mind that. Griffey
Ray.
Griffey Ray is not terrible.
Not bad.
Big Unit Ray.
Chuck.
Chuck Ray?
Yeah.
What's Chuck?
He has to be a radio DJ, though. From 6 to 9.
Hey, everybody, it's Chuck Ray.
Yeah, that guy. Nobody's going to like that guy. No, but a made-up name, like, I don't know, maybe something starting with a Z.
Really?
Maybe even
Zeke?
Like, no, because that's a name. It's also like a burger place in Seattle.
Zubu?
Zubu's not bad.
Zubu Ray?
There was a place called Zupa's for a while that was like a soup salad combo, like buffet place.
Can you Zupa. Be a Jew named Zubu?
I don't know. Is that some weird fucked up
riddle?
I don't
riddle? Know. I
can
just
you
don't...
be a Jew named Zubu? What,
can you be a Jew?
What does Zubu mean?
Yeah, but I just don't picture Jews named Zubu.
Well, that's because you're not opening your heart enough.
That's true. Do you know, I will tell you.
I wouldn't want it to be a Jewish sounding name.
Yeah. How about Heeb?
All, not bad. Hebrae.
Hebrae? I don't mind Hebrae. How about Hugh? Because it rhymes with Jew.
Also not bad.
Hugh?
How about just Jew?
Listen, I had a yarmulke when I was growing up and it had my initials on it, JW, and I drew an E in the middle.
So funny.
Just to make sure if there was any doubt.
Yeah.
Jew.
Do you have yarmulkes on call, by the way?
I have some yarmulkes at my house, but you need some. Do you have some?
No.
You don't have any yarmulkes at your house?
No, because when I go to any sort of temple service, like they have them there.
Yeah, but you're going to wear somebody else's licey.
I know, you're right.
I mean, Jew hair is the worst for lice.
You think?
Did you ever get lice growing up?
No.
You never got lice growing up?
No.
Did you get lice growing up? Am I the only dirty Jew that got a lice?
Yep.
You didn't get lice? No, but there was never a lice.
It might have been a breakout. I was nowhere near it, though.
I got lice. We got lice.
Seems like the worst.
Oh, both of my... There was one point we were living in an apartment, and both of my kids got lice. And when I tell you, I took everything out of the apartment at 3 a.m. and went to a laundromat, because at the point we had no washing machine in the one of those apartment complexes.
Yeah.
No washing machine. And every piece of clothing, every sheet... We took the mattresses and I put the hot hair dryer on them because I guess heat kills the fuckers. It was like, it's the worst, because when you know or think that there are bugs crawling on you, can't do it.
No.
I lose my fucking mind. I punched myself in the face when I thought there was a spider there.
Jesus.
Not like fist, but
are you
like,
afraid of insects?
I would say my knee jerk reaction isn't great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't look too masculine.
How do you handle a butterfly?
Butterflies I like.
Yeah, but you say that because you think usually of butterflies from a distance. Yeah. Like from a distance, everyone's like, look at that majestic winged creature.
Yeah.
Like talk to anybody and put that butterfly inches from your face. You freak out.
No. They're calming for me. Now.
Really? Because those butterflies, by the way, they are free. They're spazzing out. Like their flight patterns are so all over the place.
Have you driven, you know, it used to be the migration pattern of the monarch butterfly from Mexico up to Sacramento.
They fly that far? That is incredible.
On the 5. On the 405? Is that
the
one?
Up
the
freeway?
Yeah. So if you drive down the freeway during that time, your car is covered in dead monarch butterflies.
What?
Oh, it's...
Dude, how come nobody's done a Pixar movie about butterflies? I would love to know.
Do you want to write one, you and I? What's your voice? What's your butterfly voice? Oh, okay. I got to come up with a butterfly voice too.
Well, wait. It's like, who are you? Are you like, is it Finding Nemo for butterflies? Like, I think what's so. The story? Like somebody.
Will your voice inform what your name is? Should I give you a name first?
Yeah.
Zubu.
Well, first of all, like, I kind of want to go with like that type of a, like, I'm like Zubu, like I'm the cool butterfly that like tells everybody where to go. Like, oh, you're going to go up the 5 freeway? Well, that's dangerous, because you see how many dead butterflies be on a windshield of cars these days. But also, like, I don't know, I kind of like flying next to the ocean, because you get to see the views.
Zubu, yeah.
Zubu, listen.
Like, I put him in the category of, like...
Is he the best friend? Is Zubu the... He's not the lead,
he's like,
he?
He's like Rafiki from The Lion King.
Yeah.
Or who was the parrot from Aladdin that Gilbert Godfrey did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like that crazy character who, like, kind of the know-it-all, but, like, doesn't know too much, but, like, he's got great laugh experience.
You know what's funny is you're like, you sound like a black Billy Wayne Davis.
Yeah.
Do you know who Billy Wayne Davis is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't do voices very well. So
yeah.
You're going to have to give me a name.
Sure.
This is, by the way, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
If you were going to go, what do you think is the weakest part of you as an entertainer? I'd be like, I'm not good with voices, and I'm definitely not good about making up characters on the spot. Those would be my two far and away the worst.
All
because
right.
I basically, I've told you I only have one impersonation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it sounds like Droopy Dog, I'm going to apologize.
Is that your go-to?
That really makes me mad.
That's all I got.
Oh my God. The fact that you can do Droopy Dog and not, I think you haven't tried anything else, because if you can do that voice, that means that your voice has other possibilities.
See, I think it's just like everything else in our business, confidence. Like you jumped into that with confidence.
Because that sounded like a fun thing to do.
Right. I jump into it. Now, if you said, go downstairs and hop on stage and do 5 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a topic. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
That.
You can do that.
And
of course, it's all experience and then trusting yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not, conditioned to like do voices on the spot, then you're going to have some trepidations
about it. Let's give
it a try. Okay.
Are you going to give me, you're going to give me a name and maybe, and get some character traits?
Well, Zubu, like the character traits spoke for themselves in my head, but also, because this is not something you're comfortable with, I'll throw the character traits in with the name.
Okay. That's good.
So you are, this is Al, and he is the kind of the, like, he's at, like, almost like a mission control, like Ed Harris for Apollo 13, or like the guy at the airport who basically, like, the flight patterns of the butterflies that are all trying to make their way from A to B. He's like in the control room.
So he seems kind of curt. I mean, not like
kind of a leader, like
not like a yeah, see, not one of those guys.
Nope.
But like a What's happening? Do you hear that?
Yeah. Open mic downstairs.
Oh, they're, somebody's killing it.
Okay. Like he's very, like, he's professional, but he's
maybe
like,
a little gruff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What's his name?
Al.
Al. I'll tell you what, Zubu. I'm going to need you to go up that freeway, and I'm going to tell you what. That is the flight pattern. It's the only flight pattern we take. We take it every year. We fly up there, and then we fly back. That's what we do. We've been doing it for millions of years. You will not deviate from that.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, and too many butterflies have been dying on the cars. There's so many cars on the freeway.
Zubu, can you not see the cars coming? Can you not see the cars?
Well, now when I'm wearing my Ray-Ban sunglasses, shout out to Ray-Ban.
he's not even on air. He's just shouting out.
That's
a great voice, though. That gruff, like that can also work for like a garbage man or any sort of like blue collar rapist. What? Any sort of blue collar rapist.
I was so scared going into that, and you made it. It's almost like the first time you talk someone into anal. You really made that easy for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. I usually do voices before I put anal on the table.
Do you do Zubu when you go before you? Hey, what do you think about anal?
Hey. But you know what? Zubu is a guy I would trust with any sort of anal suggestions. Do you think Muhammad Ali ever did a voice of a cartoon?
He did Muhammad Ali. I think he might have done a Scooby-Doo.
Like the way that Mike Tyson had a cartoon for a minute.
He did a Scooby-Doo. Back in the Muhammad day, did everybody a did a Scooby-Doo. I don't know if Muhammad Ali did. I know the Harlem Globetrotters did.
So what about when like, what do you think? Like, kids who are like 8, 9, and 10 right now, like, and who probably have no idea about Muhammad Ali and don't even care.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll care in 10 years, but who knows? Like, what would you tell them if you were teaching a class on Muhammad Ali remembrances?
I think I would
take away the no quit thing, because you've already talked about that.
Take boxing second, too, and just think about culturally what he did. And he never, he had his opinions on race and on America, and he had his beliefs, and he stuck to them, dude. He stuck to him in a culture at that time that was not open to that shit.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I heard Mark Jackson during the finals. He was talking about there's my dad and then there was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And he said, those are the two men. Because, and I would, for black folks back then, like, he gave them hope. And he never wavered, man. And that's what I mean. Like, he stood up for what he believed in.
Was he a role model and icon for majority black people, or was he? Did he kind of cross the lines?
I wasn't alive,
right?
And I'm not black,
right?
But I would. But I would assume, just from and I listened to what Mark Jackson said, and I think he said something along those lines, which were basically answer that question. That black folks from that era looked up. Everybody loved Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And think about this, dude. It's not 2016. It's whatever, the 60s. And I'm going to, not only am I black, but now I'm going to be Muslim.
Yeah.
Publicly. And fuck you. I'm going to be the best too. And it wasn't like he was some quiet guy who hid in the shadows. He was also the first to talk shit like he did.
Right. That's right. That's remember being highlighted in the
first
thing I saw on him was that he was the first one to make it like acceptable in sports.
Entertainment.
Right? Yeah.
He made sports. I mean, I guess Babe Ruth did a little bit too, but he made sports entertainment. Nobody talks shit like that dude.
Brian, can you find a clip of Muhammad Ali, just like maybe type in Muhammad Ali trash talk interview or something? Because like he would do it publicly on interviews, right? Like he would say like.
How do you feel about trash talking sports in general?
Oh, I think it. I think it needs to be. I think there's a time and a place. I think it's like it can't be.
Do you think it differentiates in sports? I like seeing it on the basketball court.
On the court, on the field, it has to be there, because you can't also ask a human being who's amped up on adrenaline and other stuff to contain themselves, and also it's a part of. It's something competitive that's anyone who gets mad at the trash talking, it's like, oh, you don't know. You need anything you can on the court or on the field to like
to win,
get an edge and to win and to psych yourself. And it's again, they're like confidence out there. Like if somebody it's trash talks to you and you don't respond, then like it's just human nature. Like it's going to get into your psyche and you're it's going to affect your performance.
Gary Payton was the best.
The best.
Gary Payton was the best.
Yeah.
I used to love him because not only did he smother people.
Yeah.
But he made you fucking mad.
Yeah. It's also fun. It's a fun thing to be able to do that and then yeah. back it up.
Yeah.
And then, and cat and mouse. And then when somebody does it, I was playing this pickup game a few weeks ago and like this guy and I were getting into it and just like, it got like crazy. And like, I'm also a comic, so he doesn't know that. So I'm like, really, it's like dealing with a heckler. It's like yeah. crowd work. And he was getting real frustrated. And then it was like, when I could like dish something back and then hit a three in his face and then whatever, and then stop him on the other end, it was like, it just, it pumps you up. And then it
are
made
you,
him
are you
play
telling
harder.
Everybody you hit a three and then you played some lockdown D?
It was dope. I had a solid like 3 minute where I just
were you dominating.
Yeah, if I could get that clip somewhere and post online, I would.
After the 3 minutes, like how long can you play without getting tired at this point in your life?
Oh, a while.
Really?
I think just basketball stamina is yeah.
But there's a trick to it too, isn't there? Because you can really burn yourself out. Isn't there a trick to the flow of the game?
I think I'm good at pacing. Like, I mean, but I also like I've always been a hustler. Like, and so that part I just can't not. But yeah, I mean, like every, I mean, come on, you're definitely not playing the defense, like, you know, giving it. Oh, Brian, what are you doing? You playing it? Brian, is there a clip that isn't?
I don't like fighters who talk too much.
There you go.
Well, Henry Cooper's nothing but a tramp. He's a bum. I'm the world's greatest. He must fall in 5 rounds, but if you talk about me, I'll cut it 3. I'll never fight another fella as tough as Doug Jones, not even that big, ugly bear, Sonny Liston.
Is he your next fight?
Well, after I annihilate this Henry Cooper, I want that bear.
And what's going
to
happen to him?
I want him bad.
What's going to happen to him?
He might be great, but he'll fall in 8.
I mean, I'm dude. All right, you can stop that for a second, Brian. Like, even just the, like, the cadence and the vernacular that he...
And the charisma.
It's just like going, like having the yeah, like that. I'm gonna say that, and then fucking then some Dr. Seuss shit in there, and he starts rhyming. Like that's.
And by the way, let's go ahead and remind everybody, he's black.
Yeah.
In a time talking shit about white people.
Oh yeah.
That was like, frowned upon. Unheard of. Unheard of.
But that also, I mean, his charisma definitely is something that you're like that. He couldn't have. He had to have that. Accompanied with the balls to speak up.
100%.
Because if, you know, shit, I mean, let's think of
Mike Tyson. Probably couldn't.
No, but also like a character. Like that's, you're the, right? Like, I mean, you hear Tyson talk, you want to listen.
You do now. Although.
You didn't back in the day?
He didn't talk that much.
Because he was probably nervous about the speech thing? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
But now he's embracing it because he sees how much of like, parodied and like what it's just what it's
I think he's more just, he's more confident now than he's ever been, which is weird.
Yeah,
you remember watching Tyson though, right?
Just that ear fight when he bit the ear. Yeah, not prior to that. I need to go back even further.
Yeah, you should just take a look, man.
Let me spend a day in just YouTube fights.
Just you're gonna find some great street fights.
Did you ever
see Kimbo Slice and do him?
Yeah, hey, rest in peace Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, but did you see his backyard fights?
Oh yeah, those might be the first YouTube fights I saw. And then that transitioned into bum fights, and that transitioned bum fights are great. Then that transitioned into parent sporting event like stand fights.
Yeah,
parents in the stands.
Those to me are the fucking worst.
They're the saddest because it's like the kids.
How embarrassing is that?
Oh, it's so embarrassing because there's. I mean, but you get it.
What kind of parents were your in the stands? What kind of parent was your mom?
Oh, mom was. I mean. I'll give you an example. Playoff game in basketball. It's dead sound. I'm at the line to put us up 2, shooting 2 free throws, and it's dead time. And she goes, "Just have fun." And I looked over and go, "Mom, shut up."
How embarrassing for you.
But she was so supportive. But she got into it, emotional and jumping and cheering. And then, and dad wasn't there a lot. So thanks for bringing that up. But that
I'm gonna bring that up every episode. Tell me about your dad.
And when he was there, he was very into it and would scream and get into it. He never got, there was one game that he was at where all the other dads, one dad got into a fight with a dad of the opposing team. And then
over what?
I don't know what it was, but I just remember looking over in the stands and just seeing the dad grabbing my buddy's dad's neck. And what this dad didn't realize is that like our team was full of big dads. Like, I mean, the big dads and big brothers where it was like there was two players on my team who had dads that were jacked like construction and one was like just like looked like he was in the mafia, like thick dudes. And each of those buddies on my team had three brothers apiece who were there, who were all big fucking just dudes. So this guy, I mean, and then we had two Filipino guys who had two tiny Filipino scrappy dads.
Muay Thai dads.
Yeah, and I remember looking over, seeing my buddy's at in a chokehold, and then just like immediately my eyes went to all those big dads and brothers and saw them like one after the other get up and just be like, yo, it's time to throw down. And then
was it ugly?
Oh man, it was nuts.
How many people ended up fighting? How old are you at this time?
This was probably seventh grade, so 1995, 13.
And so when that happens, are
terrified.
You terrified?
I don't think of like the gun stuff yet. I just more think of like,
were you embarrassed at all?
Yeah. Yeah, but also just like, nah, I mean, it was kind of exciting too.
Yeah.
Cause you like, I definitely had never seen those dads fight before. So it kind of like was like, oh fuck yeah. Like, this is going to be a fun car ride home to like see, like we're for sure getting ice cream.
Did that dude get his ass kicked?
Oh yeah.
By a multitude of people?
Yeah. And it got weird because then we had to, when we left, like we, like dads were waiting, like, and one dad was calling people to come to the game to like meet up to like, cause it took a while to disperse. And then, I just remember my buddy's dad in the car too, who was one of the guys who got in the fight, was just like so fired up. I mean, he was, which is crazy. Like he just was, I'd never heard that also, I think, amount of cursing from an adult. Because, you know, these dads is
that's
like, when you stay at their house, they're just, you know, they're civilized people, and they're like, you guys want pizza for dinner? And all of a sudden, he's just like, I'll fucking eat your fucking head, you fucking piece of shit. I'll put my foot in your dick hole and fucking shoot a bullet through your back and catch it and then shove it up your ass. You know, like, crazy shit. You're like, these are creative, fired-up fathers. Fired-up fathers. And Big Dads should be the names of two different...
By the way, Big Dads should be the name of a softball team,
I think. Big Dads and Fired Up Fathers.
Yeah, I think Big Dads is the name of a softball team for sure. Who are we playing this week? Nah, fucking Big Dads.
Big Dads!
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen at a sporting event, the kids' sporting event, a fight. It's come close to yelling. There was a house of guys in our town. Scott Williams and his brothers were big dudes.
Yeah.
And I think Scott ended up playing D1 football, and his brothers were the same size, dad same size. And there was a rumor going around that a burglar broke into the house.
Yeah.
The wrong house.
Oh, no.
And they didn't call the cops.
Whoa.
That was the rumor going around town, was that somebody broke into the Williams house and didn't come out for another 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, that's the scene. Like, that's the same guy in the stands who grabs your buddy's father.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this dude. And looks over his shoulder. He's like, oh, it's the Big Dad Brigade. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, shit. Whoa. I'm about to get my.
Yeah.
That's those kind of things when you think you make a good decision. And then a second later, you're like, this was a really bad. When I was in college, I was, you know, we were big in intramurals. Did you go to college?
Oh, yeah. USC out here.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And so, yeah, did basketball intramurals. I mean, the whole time.
It gets heated sometimes.
Incredibly heated, because that's you finding an outlet for all that competitive shit that you couldn't take to
100%
to a legitimate, like to play professional college sports.
But you're still coursing at that age. You have so much testosterone going through. So you're still competing like you're actually playing.
1,000%. Right. Even though you're playing for the intramural championship, guess what? It's still a championship.
You're still lacing them up.
Yeah.
So we had a wrestling tournament. One of my buddies was wrestling in it. And it had gotten real heated between our two groups of people.
Yeah.
And
What do you mean two groups of people?
Well, we were in fraternities.
Okay.
So it had gotten real heated.
Yeah.
Okay. Between our two fraternities. And our fraternity had dominated, but it had gotten chippy on the wrestling mat. And so my buddy who was wrestling may or may not have done a little something cheap. Now, right before the other guy was about to pin my buddy, he hauled off and punched him in the nuts.
Whoa.
And you know, when you're in college, there's that split second. As soon as the tapped him, I ran out and kicked that dude as hard as I could.
Where?
Somewhere in the head area. And a fucking all-out brawl. But as I'm running out and as my leg is coming back, I was thinking, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, you knew it.
This is a bad idea.
But you didn't know it enough to not follow through.
Well, I was already back there. So,
and you're not a quitter.
No, and I'm no quitter. We've established that. But that was like, I will tell you, man, testosterone does weird shit to you.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time where you woke up the next day or even 10 minutes later, you're like, I can't believe I fucking said that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's why they say like when you're so heated to like write it out or yeah. whatever to take the, take yourself down a notch. But yeah, I mean, God,
you've been in a fight?
A couple. Yeah.
What's your record?
I mean, one was, a parking lot fight in high school. One was I jumped in on one, and then one was, we didn't talk about this on the other episode. We didn't?
We started, so I know.
When I was in Austria and the guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that 9/11. One.
Yeah. So I connected, but then, you know, then was jumped on. But yeah, I mean, testosterone just like.
I have a 4-8 fight record. It's not great.
I wouldn't be bragging about that.
No, I'm being as honest as I can. I had a problem backing down. I used to drink a lot. And I
booze is the biggest contributor for fight because
in our mouths.
Yeah. And with dudes, and like literally a dude, testosterone makes you see a dude at a bar and he's like 20 feet away and he's squinting to see if he can see if the guy behind you is his buddy.
Yeah.
And you see him squinting at you and you catch the eye line and think they're lined up and you're like, what you fucking looking at, dude? and the guy is like literally like, I'm trying to see if that's Ben.
Yeah.
If that's my friend Ben behind you. But now you've put it in the ring. So he's like, I'm fucking looking to see if that's my friend Ben. But he does it in that tone. Yeah. And adds something on top. And then he's like, well, fucking, I'm right here, dude. I mean, it's literally just, it takes us the smallest thing. A bump at a shoulder. How many bars have you been at where you've like bumped somebody?
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, fucking watch it, dude. And you're like, oh, God, man, come on.
It's on.
But so many guys go out to fight with the intention of.
100%. But when I was younger, you know, I had a friend who used to always say, I'm either going to fuck or fight tonight. I'm like, can't we just get some food?
Fuck or fight.
But the combination of booze and testosterone is the worst. You know, I was just in Nashville. Have you been to Nashville? You've been to Nashville.
Yeah.
You've been down to Broadway, that street?
Yes.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
But I said that when I was down there. This street is one misplaced shoulder away from an all-out brawl.
What?
It's because it's constant bros.
Yeah.
Drunk bros.
So was San Diego. I was just in San Diego for the Gas Lamp District.
Gaslamp. So it's
I saw three fights in the span of about 15 minutes that were devastating. Like, man, the craziest shit that I'm like, oh, somebody for sure is going to die at one of these and no one's going to know. I mean, it was one. I wonder if I have the video on my phone that
I
took.
Did you take a video?
Yeah, and then his buddy caught me and I shut it off. But
Why? What's with the party pooper?
I mean, his buddy was getting in his face.
By the way, I counted seven bros.
it's not worth it, bro. Yeah, what's great about that guy is the guy who was fighting was shirtless and just chasing down people. Like
anybody?
Well, at first it was the black dude that he was scuffling with. And then when it separated, then he chased down another group that was talking to the guy he was fighting with who started to walk a different way. And then that guy got in his face and like was more violent than the fight was. And in his face being like, I was fucking there for you, bro. I was there. I would have been like, don't fight. It's not worth it. But if you do, I'm there for you. And I was there. Like he just was so, and I was taping him. And that's the guy who like eventually saw me. I stopped taking that video and then I took another one. And then he locked eyes and he was like, you fucking taping this? I was like, dude, what am I really going to do? Like tweet it out and you're going to get
world
like.
World star.
I guess, yeah.
Do you ever world star it?
I don't even think I've been to that website.
If you want to see.
Is it great?
If you want to see crazy street fights.
I do love that stuff. But I have to. My thing is if I'm going to watch something crazy like that, I got to follow it up with like a dad surprising his daughter at school when he came back from
military,
the war early.
Yeah. Do those videos always make you cry?
Always.
100% of the time. I'm like, I'm not going to cry.
The boys, I mean.
I'm not going to cry. I know how it ends. I'm not going to cry. I know how it ends. And then I fucking cry.
There's 5-year-olds. And then there's like the ones that are really tough are like the 15-year-old, young, adolescent males. Or there's one with like a dog that somebody posted.
The dog cried?
Or the dog like freaked out.
It was a huge dog too. Yeah.
That's not as, you know.
I didn't cry as much.
No. I mean, show me some real dog tears.
Yeah, if you can really muster up the tears or you can speak.
Yeah, you're just doing backflips.
Right now,
and
you're
circles.
Just looking cute because you're a dog.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug something? This was a quick hour, buddy.
Yeah, real quick.
We
covered Ali. We got into NBA on the first one. I think we'll save that for the next one.
I really feel like, you know what we should do also?
Yeah.
We should get an email for the podcast so we can answer any sports or other related questions.
That's a great idea.
thegoodcall@gmail.com. We should hook up.
So let's make that and then plug that on the next one.
That's a great idea. I really
probably
like
a Twitter, all that stuff for it.
Yeah, we should do
that.
Yeah,
you have
too.
To.
Yeah, Twitter too.
But yeah, if we're going to do this for real.
Yeah, and Instagram and Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the email, yeah, for sure, so that people can say, talk about this. And Grindr.
A good call, Grindr. It would be fun. We're in West Hollywood. If we sat down every day and just said, who's closest to us today?
Just for a guest?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Listen, if we went Grindr and the guy came in and saw both of us and we were like, listen, you're just going to have to pick.
Well, I mean, you could, I think what you do is you give him your number. And
why
then,
me? Why can't it be yours?
Because you made Dave come in 3 minutes and you've done this professionally for money.
Yeah, but I also took an 8-hour shower and drank for 2 days.
True.
But
did it really wash away your spirit for the job?
No, because if somebody had said, hey, for a joke, will you do it again? I'd be like, fuck yeah.
For a joke or for like, what if somebody was like, yo, 5K and just talk to my friend, it's his birthday. And like,
yeah, because I'm the kind of guy, honestly, that shit doesn't bother me. I'm very confident with who I am.
Yeah.
That really doesn't bother me at all. I if somebody was like, you're going to make a lot of money doing it, I was like, fuck yeah. They're like, what about your integrity? I'm like, I'm a comedian. I don't have any
integrity. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I didn't get into Hollywood because I have integrity.
I love that email idea, though, that we should, for questions, for like things, maybe that's how we make the lineup of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I say we pick one each. You know, I did. And there's some other stuff we'll get into because we were when
the other things we want to talk about. Maybe we'll save it for the next episode. But I mean, there's some NBA obviously with the finals going on. But these finals, you know, by the time
next week comes, only one game will be played. I mean, you can get through a whole season of The Walking Dead quicker than these fucking finals.
Why is it taking so long?
They've spaced them out. It's
just
like,
let's hurry it up. Like the sweep is coming.
Are you calling for? We have to make one.
No,
bet.
It'll be five. Cleveland. Oh yeah, we haven't made a bet.
Is it?
Wait, what did we bet last time on the Chuck Norris age?
And you Price is Righted me.
Yeah,
you fucking.
And didn't what did I get over that?
You won.
Oh no, are we saying that it was going to be a bet? The prize at the end
or 4 out of 7?
That's right.
Okay, so you want to get? Let's bet games. I went first last time. You get to go first.
I said the Warriors are going to take it in 6. Okay.
Okay. Well then
I'll go this Cavs in 7.
Oh, you're going to be wrong.
Okay. Well, I'm taking it.
Cavs you're taking in Cavs in 7.
Yep.
I think Warriors in 6, but what if nobody's right?
Then it's
is it a push?
A wasted bet, yeah.
We need something that someone's going to be right, don't we?
You're probably going to be right with yours. I just went the other way because you
felt bad for
me. But LeBron's going to go on a tear, and I think he's going to do a Skype session with David Blatt, who's going to give him some weird, you know, foreign advice because he's overseas now coaching. Kevin Love is probably out for a while.
How good does David Blatt look now?
Great.
Right?
Come
without
on,
Kyrie,
went
without
six.
Kevin Love. And it was up 2-1.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And had them playing hard.
I know, dude. Lou is not.
Why aren't they playing the big. When Bogut's in, why aren't they playing the big Russian? I don't understand. Russian played well last year.
I know. I don't like Tyronn Lue. Why aren't you playing Mo Williams? Talk about playoff experience and 3-point artillery. I don't know. But they're gonna win in 7.
All right. Thanks for the pity bet. I take them in 6, and we'll see you guys next week.
We need like an exit thing. And I was thinking of one. How about this?
Okay.
This has been Good Call. Good night.